Good morning, everyone. It is wonderful to be back with you. We had a very nice family camping trip last week. Thank you to Michael for preaching and for everyone who put the whole service together. Thank you. Thank you very much. It was really nice time for our family. Also, just want to reiterate how hard this is for all of us not to be able to meet face-to-face for our worship services. I know that everyone is longing to be back together again. Continue to pray that that will be happening as soon as possible. However, again, there's just been a number of cases that have come out where the virus has spiked back up again from churches regathering together, and still the majority of our folks don't feel comfortable being in person right now. I know that's so hard for all of us to not be physically together. So please continue to pray for one another, and pray that we'll be able to get together again soon. I want you to know, Mike spoke of it during announcements, that we're working, not me, others are working very hard to set it up so that we can have a broadcast of our service while also having people in the sanctuary with full safety measures. You know, that will probably still be a different service, singing being the biggest problem and not being able to gather afterwards together in fellowship. But we really are trying to work very hard to come up with another way to have us have some physical time together. So I ask for your grace and your prayers through all that, as we really wrestle with the deep needs of each of us to connect and be together, while also taking very seriously the safety of our congregation and our community. So thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before you through Jesus Christ our Savior. And though we are spread across many places, many different locations throughout the country and even in Aruba, Lord, that we are one in your Spirit. And that you have made us one body, Lord, as we're reading from Romans 12 this morning. So I pray, O God, that as we continue seeking you in your word now, that you would lead us into truth, to know you, to know Jesus, and to rejoice that we are known and loved by you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning's psalm, if you want to turn there, it's 139, Psalm 139, which is probably familiar to many of us, which is wonderful. It's a really interesting psalm in that it speaks enormous things about who God is, while at the same time being incredibly intimate and personal with us. That's remarkable that it's able to do both things at once. And so in this psalm, we get so much truth of who God is. We get so much of the name of God, of the character of God, in all its beautiful enormity, while also experiencing the very personal, special love that God has for each and every one of us, yes, as a body, but in this psalm, as individuals. May you hear in God's word this morning his great name and his personal love for you as an individual. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 139, if you haven't already. Psalm 139. to the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot obtain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Oh, men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. This is God's word. As David is pondering who God is, and specifically who God is in relationship to he himself, he says that these thoughts are too wonderful for me. Too wonderful for me to comprehend, to fully grasp, to be able to understand, like maybe we would understand some basic mathematics or something like that, or understand a language. No, too wonderful. When he tries to contemplate, which he does, I mean, he goes there, but it fills him up so much, it's just exploding with joy at how wonderful God is. Too wonderful for me. I want to follow an outline here that is common in many people looking at this psalm. It breaks up nicely into four sections of six verses each. So it kind of has a nice symmetry to it here. Particularly the outline I'm following is one that I've been a commentator that I've been using a lot for the Psalms, named Derek Kidner. But it is recognized by many who look at this psalm that there are these sort of four categories, four sections in this psalm. In the first one, in verses 1 through 6, we see that God is all-seeing. God is all-seeing. David starts off by saying, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. I had that be the title of our sermon this morning. Lord, you know me. And if we take away nothing else, I want us to hold on to that. that the Lord, Almighty God, your Heavenly Father, knows you. David goes on to describe just how all-seeing, how all-knowing God is here. He says, you know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. I mean, there are these two realities of God that we talk about when we think of theologically of where God is. We say that God is immanent, that He is here. He is right here with us. He is always present with us. Right? Matthew 28, right? Jesus, as He goes away, says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. He's here. He's with us. He sends us His Holy Spirit. That as we sit, or wherever we are, in different locations, right? We're separated right now by space, but God is with each and every one of us. God's eminence. But then we also speak of, for the Scriptures speak of, God's transcendence. That He is above all and He is everywhere. That the farthest reaches of space, God is there too. That God is all present everywhere. And God in His totality, wherever, as He exists in all places, He knows our thoughts before we even pray them. Isn't it interesting that God knows our thoughts, and He'll say here that He knows before, in verse 4, even before a word is on my tongue, Lord, You know it all together. God knows exactly what we're going to say. And yet He still invites us to pray. He still calls us and gives us the pleasure, the joy of praying to Him, of speaking to Him with words, whether out loud or in our hearts, in our minds, however we commune with God. He still wants that from us. It's not a need. It's not, if we don't say it, then God doesn't know it. No. But because He is a relational God, because He is in relationship with us, He invites us to commune with Him, to come and speak to Him, even though He knows everything about us, our thoughts, our words. He says He even knows where we're going. He knows our paths. He knows when we lie down. He knows when we stand up. He knows everything about us. And I know that when we sin, we, like Adam and Eve, have a tendency to try to hide from God. There's a reaction there that we don't want to face God with our sin or in the midst of our sin. It's been going on, like I said, since Adam and Eve. And there's a fear in our sin to think that God knows our sin. He knows the badness in our hearts and in our minds. But I'd like to suggest that there also should be a great, even in our sin, a great comfort in that. That God knows everything that goes through our mind and loves us. God will not someday say, really, that's what you thought in your heart? You had those thoughts? If I had known that, I never would have taken you. I never would have loved you. I wouldn't have been your God if you'd had those thoughts. No, He knows them all. And still chooses love for you and for me. And also every suffering, every wound that we have, every time someone hurts us, God knows. He knows our fears. He knows our anxieties. He knows our loneliness. He loves us. God is all-seeing. Secondly, in this passage, that God is all-present. That He is present all places and all ways. And I alluded to this with God's eminence and transcendence. But David puts that poetically here. Asks a number of questions, just as our song, Behold Our God, did in a very, very similar fashion. To what David does here in verses 7 through 9. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I be free from you? He says, if I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to the depths of Sheol, you're there. If I go to the sea, you're there. If I fly away on the wings of birds, you're there. Even if I try to hide in the darkness, try to turn off the light and hide away from you, God, so that says light to God. So it speaks to a theological truth about God, does it not? That He is everywhere. He is here with us. He is through every aspect of space, every aspect of time. God is always everywhere. Yeah, wrap your brains around that. That's one reason we are worshiping God right now. Even though we're not physically together, we are worshiping God because God is with each and every one of us. And while He is with each and every one of us, He is with millions of Christians around the world right now, and He is also in the utter cosmos and the deepest depths of the sea. God is there. God is present in all places, in all ways. He is there. Now again, that means we can't run away from God like Adam and Eve tried to do, because we can't hide from Him. We can't go. Thanks be to God. There is no place and no way for us to escape God. Even when we think that's what we want because of our sin, He lovingly says, no, I am with you always. That's always been one of the most important or powerful truths about God for me personally. That's why I say the phrase a lot, God is with you. That's just such an important reminder for me in my life, that no matter what we go through, through our joys and through our sufferings, God really, truly, actually, completely, eternally is with each and every one of us. We're never alone. You're never abandoned. And we must hold that truth even when all we see is darkness. Our sense of what's going on around us is not as real or as true as the truths that God is always with us, and the truths of Scripture. That He sees all, and that He is with us always. The third section, verses 13 through 18, that God is all creative. He is the creator of all things. Verse 13, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. And not haphazardly, no, verse 14, I praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So many realities, truths in these verses. First, God created you. God is the one who made you. God has created biological processes and scientific realities, and also God is the creator. And He made you, and He made me. We always say, I think I said it recently too, God don't make no junk. And so, verse 14, you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. God made us with love, with wonder, with excitement, with joy. He made us knowing every one of our days, as it says in the first six verses. So, be careful when we say bad things about ourselves. Because we are God's creation. He made you with purpose because of His great love for you. This is also where we as Christians, or and Jewish people, people of the book, where we get the idea that God created us and we are created at conception. Right? This is the idea that we are knit together. We are made by God in our mother's womb. Right? So, I don't think it's worth trying to figure out when a moment happened, when life becomes... The implications from this passage here, even my frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, even predating actual time of conception in the womb, that we are a life. That's where we get the idea of the value of a life, because it's God created, God made. How wonderfully and beautifully we are made. And God knows not just the beginning, but all. He creates all of our days. As it says in the middle of verse 16, in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So He knows every one of our days. He orders our steps. He is the Creator God who has made all things. He says, not just us personally, but all the things. In the middle of verse 14, wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Nothing is made that is not from God. God has made all things. He is the Creator God. Fourth and final section of this psalm. Verses 19 through 24, we see God is all holy. All holy. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. So David is aware here, in the midst of a holy God, the offense of sin and unrighteousness, the offense of rebellion against God. And he uses very, very sharp language here, speaking of his hatred for those who oppose God. But then also turns it around at the end and invites God to search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way within me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. So David is not condemning anyone who sins. He's very much aware of sin. Please see back to last week's sermon with Michael in Psalm 51. David knows sin. But David here is the difference between those he's condemning and himself, is that David is humbly inviting God to search him, to search his heart. And if there's anything that is sinful, he will confess it. He will turn to God when he is made aware of it and confess it, as David did when the prophet Nathan said, you are the man. He didn't deny it. He didn't laugh at God. He didn't scorn God. He humbly repented. As opposed to those called wicked here who take their stand against God, who even when confronted with their sins and confronted with the awesome nature of God, refuse to humble themselves. Refuse to submit to God. But for us who follow God, who are Christ followers, we know that our sin matters. It matters so much that Jesus had to die on the cross that we could be reconciled to God. That's our sin that put Jesus on the cross. And yet God, because of His great love for us, sent His Son Jesus Christ, that all who believe in Him would be saved. Oh, David's aware of his sin, and I pray that we are aware of our sin too. Not so that we think it is irrelevant and laugh at our sin, not so that we condemn ourselves for our sin, but so that we turn to Jesus. We turn to Jesus in faith that by God's grace we are forgiven and saved, not because we are good, but because Jesus is good, is righteous, and died on our behalf. A holy God dying on our behalf, satisfying His holiness because of His great love for each and every one of us. Know that God loves you. Know that God knows you and cares for you and is with you and knows your days and has great plans for you here and through all eternity. And know that we come to Him by faith in Jesus Christ, His Son, God the Son, who died on the cross for us. Brothers and sisters, know that we are known and loved by our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your great love for us, that You know us. It's too wonderful for us to even fully take in. But I do pray we would dwell on Your nature as all-seeing, as all-present, as all-creating and all-holy. And we would feel that personal love that You have for each one of us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.